out of Discovery Bay CSD regular board meeting is now called to order. Would you all please rise and follow Director Graves' lead on the pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect all members are present.
This is the time for public comments. During public comments, you may address the board on any issues which the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda, sorry. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak at the podium, but please speak to the board. And there will be no dialogue, just so you're aware. There's no dialogue between the board yourself and the state mandates that since it's not on the agenda, that is not going to happen. So do I have, I have no card, so if there anybody wishes to speak? Seeing none, I'll close public comments. We'll move on to the consent calendar.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Let me, any discussion on the, okay. Any discussion of public comments? Seeing none, close public comments. Now,
move approval of the consent calendar.
First and second, everybody in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
All those opposed? And passed? Veolia. No Veolia. I didn't receive Bernie. We'll skip that. We want to business.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you that he wasn't going to?
Maybe he's off site. He was here last week.
He told me.
He told you he wasn't going to be here?
Right.
Okay.
No PowerPoint.
He's not going to be here.
I just thought that he would have told you.
The report is in the meeting minutes for those who wish to look at it. It's favorable as it has been in the meetings past. Good job, Veolia. Section F1, discussion of possible action regarding the general manager's compensation. And I would, at the last meeting, we completed our annual review and evaluation of the general manager. Based on that review and my discretion in negotiations with our general manager, assisted by our legal counsel, I would move that we increase the general manager's compensation to $150,000 per year. But before I make that motion, I'll ask for any comments from the public or any comments or questions from the board. We'll go to the public first. Any public comments? Bill?
I didn't put it on the card. I just want to thank you for putting this on the agenda and not putting it in the consent calendar as a slam dunk yes, as you did last year. I think this is important. He needs to be taken care of, but I think public needs to know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment. Any other comments from the public? And hearing no other comments, I'll close public and public comments and to the board if any comments.
Nope. I just say that we did have a discussion. There were some questionnaires filled out individually based on the information that I received back at the compensation is fair and reasonable.
Okay. Any other? Okay, then I will move to compensate our general manager at $150,000 per year and direct legal counsel to draft the revisions to his contract accordingly. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Passed. Congratulations.
Thank you. So you're not pushing it.
Okay, moving to F2. Possible action regarding the approval of draft administrative revisions to faculty or facility and parks rental fee schedule. Try to read that.
I'm going to bring our parks and recreation supervisor up, Matt.
Great, thanks, Mike. Good evening.
Hey.
Annually or as needed, staff reviews facility and parks rental fee schedules and makes necessary administrative revisions. Staff has presented the noted administrative revisions to the Parks and Recreation Committee this afternoon, and based on their recommendations, is requesting approval of the attached administrative revisions to both the facility and parks and rental fee schedules. Available for any questions.
Pretty straightforward. Move to Okay.
I'll just comment that this was reviewed by the committee earlier today, and we move forward with their recommendation.
Okay. So do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second. And pardon me, I got to step back again. It's a little green here. We got the comments here. Thank you, Director Graves. Any public comment? See no public comment. I'll close it. Go back to the motion again, please, if you want to repeat that.
Motion is made to take staff recommendation.
Second. Okay, first and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Motion passed. Moving on, I know you're still standing. Motion, I think it's still yours. F3.
Go for it.
All right, I'm up again. Okay, annually, staff brings before the Board of Directors a recommendation to accept fee waivers as approved by the General Manager for the 2019 calendar year. Programs, activities, and events held here at the Discovery Bay Community Center. Sorry, Freudian slip. This year's fee waivers include Bridge on the Lake, a senior duplicate bridge held every Saturday throughout the year, Hand and Foot senior duplicate bridge held every Wednesday afternoon, Boy Scouts of America, Troop 514, being Monday evenings throughout the year, Discovery Bay Garden Club, who's planning to host a free one-hour community workshop on the blue-green algae issue with a presentation provided by Contra Costa County Environmental Health Specialist. Contra Costa County Library Program will provide a free special program for children once in June and once in October. Contra Costa County Sheriff will conduct a Resisting Aggressive Defensively, or RAD, program for ages 5 through 7 the week of July 15th through the 19th. Topics include home safety, school safety, out and about safety, good and bad strangers, and what to do in an emergency. And the annual Easter egg hunt conducted by the Discovery Bay Lions Club. Total fee waivers for the calendar year 2019 totaled $16,305. Whereas the park and facility usage and rental policy was revised on October 19, 2016 to more adequately respond to the needs of the community, and whereas requirements except those identified as prohibited may now be waived or modified on a case-by-case basis by the general manager upon the finding of public interest, and that any such modification, including modification to fees, will be summarized at the next available board agenda. Based on the recommendations of the Park and Recreation Committee, staff is recommending acceptance of fee waivers as approved by the general manager for the 2019 programs, activities, and events. Available for questions.
Any clarifying questions?
I just have one, and that's might be something that I'm unaware of, and it has to do with the bridge groups. I know we talked about bridges and the Bridge on the Lakes, that they're donating $1 per person per event to help offset a little bit, or have a little bit of help. So I'm wondering, the Hand and Foot senior duplicate bridge, why? Because of bridge and bridge, is there a reason we're not asking?
The Saturday group is a more formal group. They're formally organized. They're part of a formal organization. The Wednesday group is more of 6 to 10 seniors. They drop in, they play cards, nothing formal. There's no fees or anything else that's going on during their activities.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Then I'll open it up for public comments, and I do see Bill Helfrich. You had a comment?
I did. Bill Helfrich, 661 Beaver Court.
Thank you. As last year, I object to these two fee waivers for the bridge groups. They amount to approximately $12,500, which is about 5% of the subsidy to keep the community center operating out of the Zone H property tax money. I do have a question as to what was the public interest finding to justify these fee waivers. It says in your agenda item F2, if it's stated in that agenda item, residents must show proof of residency at the time of the reservation request. Are all the participants in these two bridge groups required to show proof of residency? This is your own statutes and requirements on it. I have another issue regarding transparency and the fee waivers issue. In this regard, it was with the River Arms. I know they're a sponsored group of the CSD, but I think in determining what that sponsorship is worth, there should have been a calculation of what the fair rental value of the pool and the administrative services were and what fees, therefore, you're waiving. As an example, if they have the use of the pool from April 1st through July 31st, and that and they use the pool 3 days a week. Now, I don't know what they use it, whether it's 2 days, 1 day, or 3 days, but I picked 3 days. That would be 54 days. If they use it 3 hours each day, that would be a total of 162 hours. At $135 per hour, which is the stated rental, the cheapest stated rental for a 60 to 140 group rental of the pool, that would be about $22,000. I don't have a problem with the sponsorship, but I do believe that under a transparency issue, there should be a fee waiver notice of what that is.
Thank you, Bill. Any other public comments? Okay. Moving on to,
I'm sorry, and
any comments or discussion?
I don't see the River Otters on this list.
It's not. As Jeff wasn't.
So there's no fee waivers.
No. Well, no. But I just want to make the same comment, and Brian can jump in here if he wants to. But this again was something that was discussed in the meeting and recommended just come forward. At some point, it may be something we want to look at and compare with how it's done in other areas with regards to different clubs that use the facility. I know we want to encourage activity with amongst the community, but it may be something for a workshop at some point. We may want to talk about how other community centers in the area handle that type of thing. Book clubs, bridge clubs, groups that meet on a regular basis, whether they be formal or informal. I just think we probably should maybe review that.
No other comments? Okay. Matt, did you have any comments at all on in response to that?
No.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Do I hear a motion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
First and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Yes. Step four, discussion of possible action for the notice of completion for the front entrance at Discovery Bay Boulevard.
I'll have our landscape manager come up.
Good evening, members of the board. As you know, we've completed the first portion of our project out front, the masonry repairs and the painting. And the only thing we didn't complete was the caps that we supplied to Tyra Painting looked terrible. So I had them not install them. We do have the caps. They gave us $500 off on the install. So their work is complete up to date. And the caps are something we're going to look for. I did get a price on matching the brick cap, but it was $12,000, and I thought that was really steep. So we're going to continue to search for the caps, and we'll install them ourselves.
Good.
I would like to release their retainer to them.
Okay. Any clarifying questions?
Early on, when I was on the committee, I think we had a discussion about those. I'm sure you're researching a lot of places, but I do know that they make those out of foam with a stucco coating over the top of them.
Correct. That's what we purchased, but they did not look very good.
Due to the color or due to the size?
Yeah, color and size were out of proportion.
So, okay, the size, because you can always change the color. It doesn't have to match. Correct. It can actually stand out and be a different color.
Correct.
But the proportion is what was wrong.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Then I'll open it up for public questions. Comments? Seeing none, we'll close public comments. Discussion.
Move for staff recommendation.
Second.
First and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Yes. Moving on to H1, standing committee reports. First is the ECCFPD, which is the Fire Protection District meeting. held on February 13th. I attended that, and there were two primary issues that I pulled out of that I think would be beneficial to pass on. One is that Station 55 in Oakley, the new station, will be completed in June. But there's no staff. So that's BCCFPD board met on a workshop. They're working towards making sure that they have a solution come June, but we'll have to wait and see. The second was the approval of hiring of 6 new firefighters to cover, it's a succession planning. There are 6 individuals that are either at retirement or will be at retirement within the next 12 months. So they're going to hire 6 people. That was approved at a cost of between $1.8 and $1.9 million. So those are the two key factors that I brought back from that meeting. Parks and Recreation.
Want to go? Yeah, we did meet earlier today. Some of the items have already been discussed here in the meeting. The only other item that we looked at was the pool reports that came through from Terrapon. And we looked at what we did is we really reviewed it to make sure that staff had done their due diligence, have looked at what things may not have been included in the original bid. There were several things. I think they were very diligent. They thought outside the box. They picked up on things that were going to be additional costs. And there's an additional cost to the original quote that we saw. We're recommending, though, that we're comfortable in that most of that what costs we can find that we can anticipate are being covered. And then we've recommended that the committee move that towards the finance committee now to take a look at how they might recommend that we pay for it. And I think we were comfortable that all the bases are covered. Am I missing anything?
No. Thank you very much. Good.
Good.
Okay. Moving on to general manager's report.
Okay. Notice the board up there. I actually finally had the meeting at Assemblyman Frazier's office and regarding the intersection issue. And I can tell you that present there were 3 Caltrans representatives, 2 County Public Works representatives, and 2 persons from Assemblyman Frazier's office. And just to start with an editorial comment, I felt that they were truly interested in trying to resolve the community's concern, which, to remind you of what that was primarily westbound Highway 4 traffic. That's coming from Stockton towards Discovery Bay, passing through the intersection by going through the right turn only lane to Discovery Bay Boulevard, which poses a hazard to the traffic that is merging from southbound Discovery Bay Boulevard, making that right turn onto westbound Highway 4. They all seem to have, they want to resolve the problem, but their tasks tasked with looking at several options. I did bring in some suggestions by community members that were submitted to me, and I brought that into the group for them to take a look at, and several things were considered. Things were considered that were on that board over there, and part of the issue is, and part of the challenge that takes place, first of all, what they did, if you see the white striping that's south of the island protruding into the intersection, that's new within the last few months, I would say. And I just added it to this picture. It's not even on Google Earth yet. They thought that was going to resolve the problem, and I told them that that's laughable. So they finally agreed with that. And so it was discussed, what if we brought it further out into the intersection? And what if we made it a raised curb and cement? Those issues, those ideas were discussed regarding that idea. And part of the issue there is it's right in, for bicycle traffic is one of the issues, believe it or not, that they have to consider. And if bicycles are coming down the right edge of the roadway and continuing straight, they'd run in right into that hard curb that takes place, where if it's a painted area, they can continue to go on through. So that was kind of discounted. So some other things were talked about, delineators. If you see the yellow dots, They talked about delineators there, and there's issues that arise with that. One is, again, the bicycle traffic. However, they stated they potentially could reroute bicycle and traffic with pedestrian traffic into the sidewalk and require that, which would eliminate that. But the other issue that came up, those are delineators, which are those flags that are in the street. And those things break, and they're very hard to maintain. And the issue becomes for them that if it's not maintained and those replaced promptly, they created a liability issue for themselves. So they're not in a position to really come out and provide the kind of maintenance that would be necessary to do that. So they have some apprehension about that because of the increased liability to be out there and to monitor it constantly. So one of the things that came out was, if you see the blue dots on here, is creating a box dot island, forcing a right turn onto Discovery Bay Boulevard. Now, they can go through those dots, but they'll act as a rumble strip to make it a little bit uncomfortable. And it was discussed, why not go with delineator flags, like across the street from the intersection? And the problem with that is that if there are trucks, big rig trucks making a right turn, they can't make the right turn with those flags there, so they gotta be something they can drive over, like those dots. So where we're at on this is, we're gonna meet, they're gonna come out to the scene, they're gonna have their engineering people come out, because we looked at this from a bird's eye point of view. You get a different perspective when you're actually on the ground and looking at it from a driver's perspective. But I think they're looking at option number one kind of first, to see how that works out, but they're going to do the engineering survey of it, and then we are meeting in a month from now. I think it's the 19th of March. Any questions?
What was the option one, the concrete?
The option one is to do the, I have it designated in blue dots. I kind of drew these myself, but to create a dotted island.
Yeah, I personally don't think that's working. At 60 miles an hour, that's not going to stop anybody. I understand about their, you know, bicycle thing. I don't see too many people riding it, but be that as it may, what if they did the concrete but just left a 2 foot wide stretch so the bike can just ride right through it?
The concrete there, the issue is trucks making right-hand turns.
But if you do a rolled curve, instead of a square curve, the tires can roll out.
I can make that suggestion next time I see him.
Are you talking about where the blue dots are? Make that a concrete curve.
Yeah.
Good.
If they hit that sucker.
You can't hit it 60 miles an hour. A truck could go over it still if it was a ramp to curve.
If they're making a right-hand turn, it's a rolled, just like your driveway. It's got a rolled curve. The back tires of that trailer will just roll right over.
I can definitely make that suggestion.
And bicycle people go up at all.
You're not going to be able to make that white dotted line or the white lined island that you have drawn there concrete, because it affects your left hand turn lane into that number one lane. As it is, it's hard not to drive over that box when you make the left hand turn. I because of our discussion, have been very aware of that. If you were to make that, it would definitely hamper your left hand turn into Discovery Bay. I like the delineator, because it gives comfort to those making the right-hand turn, so they don't continue to back up onto Discovery Bay Boulevard. They feel like, okay, I'm protected. I can make the right-hand turn on red, which I should be doing anyway. But they don't seem to care about Vasco Road and the liability out there too much, because those delineators are gone all the time. So I'm a little confused as to why they think people aren't going to hit these nearly like they do.
So that actually got mentioned, and Caltrans does not handle the delineators.
No, we do. We pay the county taxes, right?
Public Works. And so, actually, if you look at this diagram over here, I'm not sure, but I think the delineators go back a little further up the lane. And they were looking at me, and they asked Public Works, would you help us maintain those? And Public Works says, no, we deal with Vasco Road. That's a nightmare. And we're not going to do it here. That's your roadway. That's your problem. And therefore not having any delineators for the same reason that extend actually onto Discovery Bay Boulevard. One of the other issues that came up during the discussion was, they Caltrans also have to take into consideration whether or not people will think that they have a safe route to make that right turn from Discovery Bay Boulevard onto Highway 4. And if a pedestrian is crossing, you know, and if a pedestrian's crossing, you know, are they going to stop? And I just kind of said, look, the stop is at the limit line of the crosswalk.
Red light's a red light.
It's a red light. They have a mandated duty to stop. I think if you put the delineators all the way down that roadway, you have that issue, but I don't think it was a problem. So they're considering a few things. It's not off the table.
Any other comments? I would like to say that Caltrans doesn't move at breakneck speed, but when they finally come up with a solution, it's usually pretty good. We have no data to prove the need for this other than residents coming in and talking about it as of this point, and that's against us and trying to get it. What I wouldn't want, I think the easiest fix in my mind is to put no right turn on Discovery Bay onto where the yellow or orange is. Then they take the safety factor out of it. But I caution staff when you're dealing with them as well. Don't let them come up with that solution because it'll back up. I know you know this. It'll back up Discovery Bay Boulevard all the way back to Willow. So that can't be. That's the easiest solution for them, and I hope that's not the one that they select.
Have they talked about that? They
yeah,
said,
sure,
they,
sure.
we'll resolve your safety problem.
Yeah, we'll put no right on red.
No right turn on red.
And that's not going to help.
I said that would not make our residents happy at all.
No.
That's not the issue. The issue is running the right-hand turn lane coming west on Highway 4 at a high rate of speed.
And Caltrans will tell you that the issue is safety. And what's the best way to, when they cross that way, they're going to hit somebody. If it's the right turn is prevented on the red, they're not going to hit that person. So that they come up with that. I said, that's not where we want to go.
I know that we've got the CHP. We've talked to them here at the meeting. The CHP has been out there on occasion. They can't dedicate for a whole day, but they have given a number of citations out, and they're fairly expensive citations. So I think if we keep the pressure up that way, it may not stop the overall action, but it will give us data that we need, at least some helpful data. Bill, please, I'll open up to the public.
Just one other comment for the record. Part of the issue is how Caltrans functions is based on data. And it's through SWTRs that they make these determinations, and there is just not the data to show that there is fatal and injury accidents occurring.
Yes.
However, I personally testified that I saw this occurring, and you don't need an accident to say one's going to come.
Yes, yes, that's true. Okay, thank you, staff. Public comments.
I agree with
come to the mic, if you will.
I'm sorry. I agree with the white dots extending the center turn lane out. Come in with a boat, pulling a trailer, it's hard enough to make the turn with just a car, let alone a boat. However, you are talking about installing cameras. Can there not be a camera installed that does takes a picture of somebody running that light and sending them a ticket?
Well, I believe they're license plate.
That's a whole different jurisdiction.
Two different kinds of technologies.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Highway Patrol does not use cameras, and this is a Highway Patrol controlled intersection.
Well, I know that
only cities do
they
that.
They found that, it was my understanding that a highway patrolman or somebody sued the state of California that says the only person who can give a ticket is a policeman. And it sort of made the ability to use radar or cameras illegal on the thing. I don't know if that applies to this area.
I haven't seen it. I don't know. But.
Thank you, Bill. Yes.
Hi, my name is Robert Beresford. I'm a property owner and resident here in Discovery Bay. I brought this to the board's attention way back in, I think, September, October last year. And I want to first thank Mr. Davies for his efforts and his attention to my concerns and the concerns of a whole lot of Discovery Bay citizens. If anybody has been on the Nextdoor community email network, they know that this is a big issue. I just have one question for Mr. Davies, and that is that at that meeting, on your diagram, it shows, if I may step over and just point out. I believe this was made by Jim Madison, is that right?
Yes.
There's these red marks here that, for the audience, right here in this, that passing lane that people are using to pass slow-moving traffic, westbound traffic. Was there any discussion of speed bumps in that lane?
They looked at the diagrams and went, oh, that's interesting. But there was, they did not seriously consider the speed bumps.
And that would serve the same purpose as the blue elevated dots, I think, that you're talking about also.
I think it's different because you're actually coming down for a 55 mile an hour speed limit, I believe, and you're reducing speed all the way to the limit line. And so you can hit those speed bumps and cause quite a bit of damage, lose control of your car when you're coming down from that speed. Theoretically, what happens is that you're stopping at the red light, and if you intend to go straight, that's when you're going to hit all the rumbles, so you want to make that right turn.
Okay, well, more than one person has suggested that that might be a solution. I don't know whether those speed bumps can be maybe put at the end of that lane so that vehicles have an opportunity to slow before hitting them, or that maybe they can be made less severe so that if you do hit them at a fast speed, they don't take out your front end. You know?
I can bring that up again at the next meeting.
Yeah, I think that option is, I'm not an engineer, but I think that option is certainly worthy of some further consideration. So if you could bring that up, I'd sure appreciate that.
I definitely will.
Okay. Again, thank you for all your consideration.
Thank you.
One more thing, Mike, just a thought, is we have an arrow that indicates a right turn only. Could they paint right turn only? And also, you know, as you drive down on Highway 4 there, as you go along the right edge, they've got they've grooved it. So when you hit it, it is a rumble. Instead of putting speed bumps in, can you just dig some of those grooves in? Mm-hmm. I've seen them at other places, and it just, you know, doesn't slow anybody down, but it just sure catches their attention.
So like dot patches, right?
Okay.
They got a McDonald's, Brentwood by Safeway down there where you make the left-hand turn. Same idea. I think that the issue, though, is that the people that are doing this are not accidentally doing it. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it intentionally, yes. And unless it's a barricade, they're going to continue, or delineators or something that actually is going to damage their vehicle. They're not gonna stop. I mean, they literally line up, they stop at the stoplight, wait for it to turn green so they can beat the traffic off the line.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments? Questions? Okay, moving on to any future agenda items. Seeing none, I'll turn it over to Leila.
The Town Discovery Day will adjourn to closed session to discuss the matters identified on the agenda as N1.